dawned on me that I should say the same thing about all of my trying to get everything polished and spit and everything like it should be to stand in front of you all, because here I am and here you are, and I love you and I know you love me, so I'm going to find joy in standing in front of you. And that's what I'm telling you straight up right now. This would be the fourth week that someone stood in front of you and talked about this growing principle, won't it? It will be. Are you tired of it? Are you tired of it? Are you? I didn't want so many yeses going that way. I asked for it, didn't I? But okay, Tommy, are we doing okay? Thank you. Well, if you think that we're pushing something down your throat, and that's okay, you can think that, but do you remember back in Scripture all of these ideas about growing and maturation? What about in the book of Psalms? The very first one starts out, you know, don't be like these folks, but be like a tree that's planted here that goes down deep, goes down deep. And in the book of Jeremiah, I can tell you in the 17th chapter, the same motif is presented there. You know, deep roots, go down, get to that which is real. And you step into the New Testament. Paul made these statements in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. You know, he said, I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And repeatedly, topics brought up about growing and seeds and maturation. Well, our brother David expressed the completeness of what this GROW project is, at least in our feeble minds. Tom, I wasn't able to hear his presentation, he dealt with the G principle of God. And I know what he said, even though I wasn't here, that God wants us to grow us into little Jesuses, little Christ. Be ambassadors for him to look like Jesus. And then our brother Ray spoke to us last week in terms of relationships. A relationship where I know who God is and I know who you are. And in both of those, I'm comfortable. And I'm growing in that, too. Well, my pleasure is talking to you about obedience. Now, I want to tell you that I was a little bit miffed when I thought about it, because I thought that these fellows had conspired against me in this way. We'll put old Dan Sane up there, and he won't even have to say it right, because he'll be kind of like an object lesson. They'll... You know, here's your brain, and here's your brain on drugs. Well, but no, I jest in saying that. What do you follow? Who have you followed? It's pretty simple, straightforward question. In the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, two of my favorite verses go like this. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. Two times it's repeated I said that, but that, I guess that's for emphasis. And this is how I remember that. A man and a donkey climbing a mountain. Up, up, up. Twisty road, twisty road. Get to the top. The donkey looks down. The fastest way down is how? Bail off the end. Just bail off. And here's the man up here holding the donkey by the tail. Well, guess which one we are. Just guess which one we are. Have you ever acted like a donkey? You know, take the easy way. The way that seems the best at the moment. And we'll say that's the childish way. But we're all like that. We take the easy way. It's our nature. It's our nature. But I don't But God doesn't want it to be our nature. He doesn't. Do you find that in your life? Have you found that where you've taken the easy way, that it's brought harm and disaster, that it hasn't been good for you? Well, I have. And I expect that the same is true in the folks that listen. But God's plan, how does it differ from how I see things? How is it? Why is it that I'm so short-sighted? How can he see so far down the road? Or does he see that far down the road? He does. Have you looked at the book? Have we looked at the book and experienced what he says there of how our life should be? He tells us the right way. We, like the donkey, we want to go bailing off our way. We want to not do it God's way. The way that one steps into seeing what God wants in our lives is to look at what he said for us. When in the book of John we were told that the words there were words of life, do we really believe that? Do we believe that this soil that we're supposed to grow in is not to be of our own composition, but of what God's got in mind for us, of what is best for us, of what brings inside of us that which we really need? Or, again, do I do it my way? Do I do it my way? How many times do I have to do it my way until it dawns on me that there's a better way? There's one that created us, each one of us. He created us for something that's better than we actually know ourselves. It's better than we can understand. But we've got to look at the book. Got to look at the book. We do. It's there for us. Now, as a church fellowship, we have attempted to place in front of folks in all of our teaching situations, that which is right and good, but we can improve. And improve we are going to attempt to do. We can improve. But as far as what is given to us church-wise, and that's necessary and that is good, what is our responsibility in that regard? You know, at some point in time, each of us has to step up to the plate. And how am I looking into the Word? How am I doing what God has asked me to do? Do I do it? Or do I want to do it? Or do I want to just stay on this tough track? And that's one of the things that we as leaders want to get across, is we want to help each other. We want to help each other grow in this ability to look at the Word and to see what's there for each one of us. Don't let it be someone else's responsibility completely for your maturation. And that may seem like something that's harsh, but it's the way God said it. It seems to be the way God said it. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling and other places in the Scripture. Now, This looking at the book and this gaining knowledge, it can go both ways. There's a possibility that I look so much and I learn so much, but it didn't take me where it needs to take me. You know, it's we are told that it's possible to have a knowledge, but not to know God. Now that doesn't seem possible, does it? But it is. Knowledge for knowledge's sake doesn't take me anywhere. But I need to know God. I need to develop that relationship with God. Another one of of course, looking into the Word of God is paramount, but how is our prayer life? Where have we gone with our prayers? Have we been able to say, or do we say, like the disciples, teach us to pray? That seems to be the paramount way that we can approach our God, which is a spirit. That seems to be the way that I can get to God over and above even study. God is immediate because my spirit meshes with God's spirit at that time. Growing. Two ways it can take place there, study and prayer. I implore each of us to work at growing in those disciplines. And those are not the only ones, but let's study with a purpose of finding God and finding what's in God and finding the love that resides there in the heart of God. Let's pray in the way of really placing each other in front of the Lord. In all of these expressions we're talking about, we are looking for the heart of God. I can stand here and I can tell you that my heart is such and such, but where's my God heart? Where is my God heart? Has God touched me? Has he given me out of my study what he wants to give to me? Out of this growing process, have I received what he wants me to receive? In my prayer life, is it the same? Have I taken in that way? I realize that in expressing my heart, which was one of the admonitions that the brother said, when you stand up, give your heart. Well, I probably wouldn't have a heart to give if it were not for the folks I have been around. And I have my wife here, and my family behind back here, my church family here, and all of you all have helped in my direction of developing a heart that in some way, goes in the direction of God. My desire is that we can help each other in that way. One of the things that, and maybe this will get me a little more settled up here. One of the things that we were to share with you, brothers and sisters, was a vision. What each of us had in our hearts for this particular body. And I'm going to look at this list so I won't miss some of the things that I have written down. And I hope that, and this may be off the wall to you in some ways, but bear with me and listen, please. I would hope as a church body that we would always be willing to rethink and look at our priorities. In other words, don't be afraid of questions. In our study, in our prayer life, in growing in our study and our prayer life, you know, be willing to take questions. Why do we do it this way? Or does that get us where it needs to be? Always rethinking. And as a church body, I would hope that we would look outside of ourselves. It's just not what we see right here, but there's bukus of folks elsewhere. Now, we have done a good job in changing the flavor of the folk in here, but I'm talking about folks any way they are. anyway, anywhere they are. Are our doors truly wide open? Are we uncomfortable with some people? We shouldn't be. Our Savior wasn't. My thought for this fellowship is that we can grow in that regard. That all are welcome. And we know that should be. And that brings us to this point of, do we give each other time for growth? Do I want things to happen on my schedule, or am I allowing things to happen on God's schedule? You know, it's the directives of the Holy Spirit that get things done properly. It's not my pushing or prodding. He only knows what we're capable of. And it, of course, our having a sharing fellowship, one that the love that we've received from Jesus Christ compels us to do the same in other folks' direction. Now, here's one that's a little tough, because when you come into a church fellowship, you think in terms of somebody having all the answers. It's okay to say, I don't know, and it's okay to say, we'll look further. And it's okay to never find the answer, too, because some answers are not given here. We have to have our hope in that direction, that later on, at the right time, we'll know why some things happened. Can I stand that? I've down here a non-condemning place. I know that's what we all want, where we're not judging each other, where we're looking at each other with the eyes of Jesus rather than other eyes. And then, now this list is just Dan's list as I was attempting to put things together here, but as our Lord said, let this be a house of prayer. And that, in saying that, means that when I open my mouth to God Almighty, that I am honest in what I say to Him. I think that alone will make the growth of this church as it should be. When we are honest with God, honest with ourselves, and honest with the people we are with, growth can take place. When I made that statement about prayer being maybe the best way for us to get to God, when I heard that, I didn't know if that were true or not, but immediately it came to my mind the thief that hanged beside Jesus on the cross, and the one that said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Well, he hadn't had time to do much studying, had he? No. But he knew he was in a bad way, and he knew where the help was, and he was honest in his admission. So, bam, right there in the presence of God, and he got the honoring of his request. We've got a lot of growing to do. We think in terms of beginners, but who's not a beginner? Who's not? Who is not? And who's not? Should we not be willing to admit that we are but beginners wherever our station is? One of the tenets of the CR method is that you look at how things have gone, and do you want them to keep going that way? Or it's as if to say, duh, how much more of this can I take? Or how stupid can I be? And when do I want to get out of this mire? Well, there's an opportunity for that. There is. There's an opportunity for all of us. As we look and as we study and as we learn, we see the direction that God wants us to go in, but it's difficult sometimes. Will you admit with me that it's difficult? It is for me. For example, when I look at the scripture and Romans chapter 12, verses 9, and the brothers may put it up here, but I'll read and you can look, if you please, show you how tough it is. Your love must be real. Dan Sain and you folks out there must hate what's evil and hold on to that which is good. And I've got to not only be able to hug the person next to me, but the person on down the road. Am I willing to learn to love that person, to go that way? Am I willing to give the person that maybe I wouldn't want to honor above myself? And verse 11 reads, am I willing not to be lazy, but to work hard? Now that all of this goes against our human nature. But it's not us. It's not us that does this. If I attempt to do this on and of myself, I am doomed to failure. But God sent help. Help's available. Help's available. It can be done. It can be done. To go further, to see how tough this is. Verse 12, be joyful because you have hope. Can I have joy in all of my settings? I really didn't want to make a trip to Recife, Brazil a week from now. But I'm going to find joy in that. I am. And it was just because I guess Dan Sain was afraid. But I'm going to try my best to find joy in that. And you've got tough situations that you've got to find joy in. But because looking ahead, there's hope at the end of the tunnel. It's better. It can be better. Being patient when trouble comes. And again, this admonition, pray at all times. Something that verse 13 that we need to work on here is sharing with God's people, bringing strangers into our homes and into our church building. Even gets tougher, verse 14. Wish for those, it probably says pray for those, but wish for those who want to do you wrong and don't pay them back. Now that is a God quality. Don't pay them back with the evil that's coming your way, but let God come alongside of you and grow you so that you can act like God in this situation. It's doable. It's doable with His help. Don't try it alone. Don't try it alone. Am I being proud in verse 16? Two times there in this particular scripture, the call is for me to live at peace with the folks around me. Our God has shown Himself to be a God of peace, a God of reconciliation, a God of making things work as smoothly and as good as they can, or as we allow them to. I'm sure that He intends for us to get this message. It is tough. It is tough, but it's doable. It's tough, but doable. What are your other options? You going to try it your way again? Or are you going to try it some other man's way again? You know, we listen to other folks teaching, and this is the latest thing, and this is the way to go. If it's not based in the direction that God wants it to go, it's doomed to failure. It's doomed to failure. As young folks, we think, well, I might do it just a little bit differently. We've all been young at one time. And that oftentimes does not work. Most of the time it does not work. We want to come alongside of you in this growing process, attempting to be honest with each other, attempting to deal practically with each other. How does it need to take place? What needs to be done? Our teaching programs themselves need to be case specific. If something needs to be handled, let's look at it. Let's look at it. I was so proud when I learned it's been some months ago. David had a class here in conflict resolution. How wonderful. I would that I had been a participant in that class before I was married. It would have served us well. As a fellowship, we would like for this, our teaching and our study to be along lines that we need to be looking at, that is specific to what's going on with us. How's your growing? Are you growing? I got to ask myself that question, and you ultimately do too. Are we growing? Are we? Are we digging deep into God's Word? Are we coming in front of our Savior, our Father, with what's really going on inside of us in our prayer life? Are we being honest in that way? Growth does not take place. Growth that looks ahead, growth that looks eternally, does not take place unless it's based in God's Word. And we need to, as a fellowship, we got to remind each other of that. We do. Continually we got to. But how is it, how is your growth? As I stand and ask that question, I'm looking at myself, but where is your growth? Are we placing what we want above what God wants? But are we looking at what God has let us know is the best thing for us? Now, you know, one shouldn't be ashamed to admit that you don't know what's best for you. This is my first time around with living. What about you? It is. And we keep finding things out. And I didn't know when I went to church to begin with that I wasn't there for myself. And I find out later on that this all takes place for God's glory. All of it does. Now, my growth can go in the direction of giving glory in the direction that it's supposed to be, or my demise can go the other way. It can work against the kingdom of God. But how is our growth? Where is it? Obedience in the direction of the one who made us, who knows what's best for us, who knows how the structure can be if it's finished properly. You know, Joey and I can put a house up, but if we don't do it right, somebody's going to pay later on. It's not going to function as it's supposed to function. But God knows how we're supposed to function. What makes it so hard for us to listen to what He says and what will make us function properly? We need to be resolved to pay attention, to help each other pay attention to what our God has said to us. Next week, our brother David will, as he began giving this concept about grow, he will speak to the idea of our serving. When I realize how much has been given in my and our direction, and the concept really comes out of me, and I know from the core of my being that I've been blessed, that I have received freely, that it's been given to me, then I'll do the work God wants done, the service that I should be involved in, and it won't be a chore. It won't be a duty or an obligation. It will be out of devotion that I do these things. The same way with when we look in the book, I don't have to do that old Bible study, but do I want to? Do I want to? Do I want to learn? Do I want to learn to work? Well, You can see I'm not accustomed to speaking, but I am again thankful to stand in front of you. I want you to know, and I believe in my heart, that this fellowship is one that is open, that tries as best we can at this particular date to present Jesus Christ as best we can, and we intend to improve in that direction. But presenting Jesus is an idea that, well, traditionally, at the end of words that are spoken, is there a need? Is there something on your heart that needs to be in front of this particular fellowship? Is there something that needs to be said here? Is there someone who wants to begin a life following this Creator God of ours? It's an open invitation. And it's not one that necessarily takes place here, but if there's a need, there are plenty of folks around. Tap a shoulder, give a call, whatever needs to be done. It's continually open. It's continually open. Isn't it good that God re-invites us each day into Him? It is. It truly is. Tommy, do you have a song selected? Yes. If there is a need that needs to be expressed, a concern, and anything that needs to be placed in front of this body at this particular time, it would be appropriate as we stand and sing.
Live.